you know, we like to see this thing worked out. It's okay to see it worked out. We want to see it working. When people refer you to something, to someone, they said, no, I had the same thing done, or they worked on my car. They just, you want some evidence that this stuff works. So if I'm talking to a new convert, somebody new to Christ, they haven't read the book yet. They're looking for some evidence to see that God is really working in your life. So, you know, they want to see God working. So, you know, we are, you know, ambassadors for Christ. We are billboards for Christ. Amen. And whatever he's doing, he's doing. Even if you messed up, he's still doing it. He can get you out of your mess. I know you don't like being in a mess. I don't like being in a mess. But I found out, I was researching things. God said, you know what? It's your mess that gets my attention. Because those that are not sick don't need a physician. So if you're already perfect, you're already hooked up, then this is not the message for you. As a matter of fact, you could leave church early. But I'm about to waste your time. You don't need this. But, you know, folk that need a blessing from God, amen. This is a message. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, God. And we pray against anything that would try to hinder what you're about to do in us for your glory in your church on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we want to talk about your situation and God's power, a perfect match. Your situation and God's power, a perfect match. There is something about your situation that catches God's eye, that gets God's attention, that causes God to look at you. And what catches his eye is not the fact that you're so beautiful and you're so handsome and you got it going on. It's the exact opposite. It's because of what's wrong, not because of what's right. Hallelujah. Wow. I'm not saying God won't look at you when you're right. I'm just saying a lot of times it's because of what's wrong that catches God's eye. See, we must remember that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So God had actually come, and Jesus actually came to look for some messed up folk that been messed up since Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. That's what he's looking for. You find somebody, suppose you find a plumber. The plumber going around looking for stuff, you know, pipes all messed up. Whatever your expertise is, you looking to fix that problem for that person in their lives. So Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So if you don't think you lost, then you don't need to be found. Amen. That's what he came. He said, those that aren't sick don't need me. God sees your situation differently than you see it. What you see is hopeless and worthless. God, the Creator, sees it as just right for his glory. That's what I like about God. Whatever we're in, whatever situation we're in, is just right for God's glory. There is not one thing or one situation that can throw God off or cause God to scratch his head in despair. You know how we do sometimes? When stuff be messed up, everything come at us, he's like, oh, Lord, what I'm going to do? God don't go through all that stuff. God says, thank you. I just wanted permission to work on it. That's one thing about God. He wants permission to work on our situation. So no matter what your situation is, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how long you may have been in the situation, your situation and God's power is a perfect match. How can I say that? Because no matter what's going on, God can handle it. There's nothing that can blow God's mind. There's no disease. There's no situation that God cannot handle. You cannot mess God up. You cannot bombard heaven so deep that heaven got to call a meeting and say, hey, we don't know what to do with this one. They done got together down there and came up with some stuff that I have never heard of. So God said, I'm Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end and all that is in between. So what you need, you and I need to do right now is to see God fixing our situation. See, we don't have the imagination anymore. When I was in elementary school, they said, use your imagination. Put on your thinking cap. They had us put on our thinking cap to use our imagination. You need to see God in your situation. You need to see God delivering you. That's what I like about delivery. Because delivery means it's done. This message is not for somebody who play in church. You just want to get a little attention right now. You want to get a little sugar right now, okay? But then you plan to go back. No, delivery means delivery. When UPS come to my house, they deliver packets. Ain't no string attached. I sign for it and I take the packet. I don't sign for it and they walk away and something attached to it. No, deliverance is deliverance. So if you want to be delivered, I need you to see you being delivered from your situation, from your condition, from whatever it is that you're going through right now. You've been hanging around that mess long enough. I'm at the age right now, if I keep on playing the same mess, I'm going to keep on getting the same results. Something ought to tell you, if I can't deal with it by this time in my life, I need some help. Oh, my God. One of the most sad positions to be in life is to need help and can't get it. And when help is available and you refuse it, or you don't realize you need help. That's sad. You need help. It's available. You don't want it. Or you need help and can't get it. Or you don't think you need no help. That's why James said, once you look in the mirror and leave, God said we got to be careful because when we get dressed up, we fake ourselves out. Because the clothes look good and the hair look good and we got on some smell good, that don't mean everything good. Because you can't dress up a mess. If I'm stuck in a situation, if I'm stuck in a mess, I don't care how much my suit costs or how much my wife's dress costs. I don't care what kind of car we ride in or where we go to eat. When it's all said and done, when we put the car in park, when the waiter or waitress comes get the plates off the table, guess what? We still got a mess. Because all we're doing is covering up the mess. And you know what? One of the craziest things is when we got that foolish pride. We don't want nobody to know. Now, I grant you don't want everybody in church to know, because everybody in church don't need to know. Hello. But everybody in church don't care about it. They just want what's going on. Because there's something good to tweet about and to talk about and put on Facebook. But you got some real prayer warriors in the church. You got some folk in the church. You got some mothers in the church to give you some wisdom. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. That's what it's all about. But see, it's deep when you just want to suffer in silence. You tell anybody, I don't need no help. Yes, you do. When it becomes obvious to your friends and family that you need help, guess what? You need help. Guess what? You ain't covering it up no more. It's sticking out. It's uncovered. It's noticeable. That's why I mentioned it to you. And stop trying to go around talking about, I don't want to hurt your feelings. Hurt my feelings. Let me know what's messed up. Because if you, my friend, hurt my feelings, because if you don't hurt my feelings and let me go around thinking I'm this and thinking I'm that and everybody else talking about me, then you're not my friend. And it's not what you say, it's how you say it. If you know I'm fragile, don't hit me too hard. Because I will break. And after I'm broken, then I might hear what you said. But if I'm already fragile, be a little delicate about how you got to tell me. But I need to know. If you're my friend, I need to know. In many instances, we try to fix things ourselves. Because of pride and shame. Some folks are ashamed. I said, Lord, what's this shame thing? He said, let me tell you something about shame. Shame, it's a shame if you're still in it. That's a shame. That's a doggone shame. I'm still trying to get myself together. Well, evidently, you can't do it. Because I've known you for 30 years, and you still got the same old saying, I'm just trying to get myself together. Well, I see the brothers I went to school with. Man, look at here. One of these days. I was in elementary school with you. What you talking about one of these days? I'm way over 50. What do you mean one of these days? How about this very moment, my brother? You ain't got too much time left. But see, we can't really get our situation together if we want to stay in it. There's some situations that we're in, they benefit us. Like if you're not in a certain situation, you might not get no digit. You might not get a check next week if you get out of That's not good. If you're not in some situation, you might not get no free medicine. I ain't got to hurt nobody's feelings. But you know, some people live in situations because what they get out of the situation. And God is trying to say to you, I don't really want you in that situation. I'm trying to better your situation. I don't mind you being there right now, but I do have a plan for your life. I got some blessings in store for you. But see, you don't want to be blessed. You want to stay in your situation. Because every time somebody asks you what's going on, hey, I'm trying. But the system, God said, who told you to get in the system? Heaven got a system. Oh, my God. Then we find them talk about what their parents did to them. Well, guess what? They did it. Now it's time to pick up the pieces. You 40 years old. Talking about mom and daddy did something to you. Well, guess what? It's done. By this time, you should be healed. No, I'm not being cold. Go get some help. Get some help for your situation. Oh, we don't want no help. But your situation, God's power is a perfect match. Because God is so powerful and he cares about us and he wants to bless us and he loves us and he can do it. That's what's deep about God. God can get it done. He can do anything and everything. He is a miracle. He's a miraculous God. He's a mighty God. Nothing can blow his mind. He loves you to get the report from the doctor. He said, to bring it here. Let me blow their mind. I won't blow their minds this time. I'm gonna blow the doctor's minds this time because I know you got one of the chief doctors down there. He's good. But he ain't me. I just want to mess him up a little bit. I want to let him see something. I want to play a game with him. Now you see it? Now you don't. You saw it a month earlier, and you don't see it a month. See, God will get in there. See, but you got to let him get in. God needs our permission to work on our situation. Stop crying your eyes out at night. Stop blaming everybody else for the calamity and the mess you're in and get rid of the situation. Because it's not about whose fault it is. It's about, can I get rid of this situation? If you like me, I don't want to keep a situation and let it pass upon my kids. That's called generational curses. I'm going to stay in this. And then all of a sudden you see your kids acting like that. You wonder what's wrong with them. You, what's wrong with them? Because they imitate us. They practice what we do. I'm not saying we got to be perfect, but we ought to be conscious of what we do. They do the stuff we do. Find a young man beating up on a girl or a young lady or a girl or something, guess where he got that from? He ain't get it off TV. Saw you go upside mama's head. And then mama did the frying pan on you. That's why your hair's so flat on top. That's why you get your hair cut like that, because mama did the frying pan. Lord have mercy. You tell a barber, just go with it. Just go with it, barber. But if your children see you praying, your grandchildren see you praying, guess what? They're going to pray. If they see you talking about the church, guess what they're going to do? Oh, Lord have mercy. They do what we do. If they see you making faces at the pastor, what they going to do? And then you get all embarrassed. This is the face that my grandmother and grandfather make when the pastor gets up. And they make the face, he's like, stop that! I told you not to do that in public! They don't know what public is. This is family. It's a public. This is family house. Oh, they do what we do. But I think we often forget and overlook the power and willingness of God. God actually wants to get in there. God's power is so great that no matter what your situation is in life, he can handle it if you want him to through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's important because once he gets you out of the situation, he doesn't want you to go back. I'm looking for people that want to keep the victory. I'm not for folks that in and out stuff. Folks that want to keep the victory. That's, you know, Reverend Kevin, they do ministry of a Kirkbride, but you know what the whole reason for Kirkbride is? That rehab and rehabilitation process, that's, they don't really want people to come back. They really don't. And when you talk to somebody, they say, you guess what? If I can make up my mind, there's a lot of folks that go cold turkey with stuff. There's folks that say, if I make up my mind, I don't, because the mind is great. There's some people, when they make up their mind to do something, they do it. And it's a lot of time we play a game with ourselves. We don't really want to tell ourselves, I don't need this no more.
But we keep going back into it because we don't have any hope. It looks like everything else is messed up. Since everything else is messed up, since I'm in despair, since I had a rough life, since ain't nothing working out, since I can't take responsibility for making the wrong choices in my life, since I found somebody to blame all my stuff on, I feel good about this. And you talk to some folks, they tell you everything everybody ever did to them, but nothing what they did. Everything they ever been into in their life, somebody put a gun to them, made them do it. Yeah. They made me drink. They made me take drugs. They pulled a Uzi out on me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. God said, come with time, take some responsibility for what we're doing. And if you know what I know, whether you can find out who's responsible, whether I'm responsible or not, God will say, I don't care who's responsible. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to take you out of the mess that you find yourself in. I am the one that can do that. I know you thought that man could do it, but he can't do it. I know you thought that lady could do it. She couldn't do it for you. No. Yeah, you got a good job, but that can't do it for you either. There are some areas in your life that only I can do, but money can't do it. Fame can't do it. Knowing a whole lot of folk can't do it. Yeah, you can get help, and we need help. God has set things up, counseling, all kinds of stuff for us, but we can get help. We need that help. But there comes a point where we need a kind of help that human beings can't give us. Only God can do that. That's what happened to Israel, the whole house of Israel. They lost their hope. That's where we get to Ezekiel chapter 37. They in a valley of dry bones. This situation is so dry. Anybody in a dry situation and water won't do it. You don't got the doggone garden hose out trying to water yourself down. You're so dry. We're so dry in our situation, but their hope was lost. They felt they didn't have anything to live for. And I need to let somebody know God will get you through the worst times in your life so he can get you through the best times. And it's an up and down thing. Don't fool yourself. When I came to Christ, you know, when you come at an early age sometimes, I thought they'd say, everything going to be all right. I came to the kids at church and said, everything going to be all right. And I got mad because everything wasn't all right. There's some stuff happened that wasn't all right. So I left the church. But I couldn't find nobody greater. Nobody greater. God said, stop looking at the people. I ain't never tell you that the people died for you. My son died for you. Stop looking at the people. Stop talking about the people and look at me. I am the one that's going to take care of your situation. I am the one that's going to bless you and keep you. And it won't be on Facebook. And I won't be tweeting about it. And you won't see it in the newspaper. And you won't see it because it's between me and you. God says, you can tell everybody else that they can talk about it. Why don't you tell me? I made you in my own image. I know all about you. I am the one that made you. I know what needs to be moved, what needs to be tweaked, what needs to be turned, what needs to be tightened, what needs to be loosened. I know exactly why we're so afraid to go to him, but he sees us anyway. Your situation, God's power, a perfect match. Look at Ezekiel 37. I love it because God turned Death Valley into Transformation Valley. He turned a valley of death into a valley of transformation. God is good. Point number one, before we get to the points, remember first and foremost, God sees your situation. I need to make that clear. God sees your situation. I don't care how you try to hide it, how we try to cloak it, how silent we may be about it, God sees our situation. Point number one, your situation must hear God. Whoa. Your situation must hear God. Your situation must hear God. Oh, I wish somebody would grab that out the air. Your situation must hear God. Your situation got to put the ears on it. Your situation must hear God. See, you okay if your situation is messing you up. You all right. You love the Lord. You want to serve him. You want to worship him. You want to sing the songs of Zion. You want to use your gifts. But to stop the situation, it's messing you up. Your situation must hear God. Number two, your situation must believe in God's power. Number one, your situation must hear God. Number two, your situation must believe in God's power. And number three, your situation must receive God's blessings. Number one, your situation must hear God. Number two, your situation must believe in God's power. Number three, your situation must receive God's blessing. Why would I say your situation needs to hear God? I feel this way. If I'm trying to live my life and something going on that stopped me from living my life, it must have a life. Whatever stopped me from serving God, it got some kind of power. So your situation must hear God. Look at Ezekiel 37:1, where Ezekiel said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me. He carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." See, God sees our situation. "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." Which means they're very dry bones in an open valley, but everybody see them, but they don't see them. Oh, my God. They're in an open valley. Everybody sees them, but they don't see them. Nobody sees your situation like God. You don't even see your situation like God. He said, they're in an open valley, and though they were very dry. "And he said unto me," he said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest." "Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them." Now, if dry bones couldn't hear, why is God telling Ezekiel to prophesy unto these bones? They're not even together. Anybody here with a scattered life? Disjointed? All torn apart? There's still good news from heaven. The God I serve specializes in busted up stuff. Broken up stuff. Stuff all over the place. Anybody all over here and all over there and all scatterbrained? God specializes in this. He told Ezekiel, he said, "Look here. I want you to prophesy unto these bones." He told them in verse 4, "O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now you and I will walk by and say, "Ain't nothing in that valley of death but death. Dry bones all scattered, ain't nothing." But here God comes by and tells his prophet, "I want you to talk to some dry bones." See, we're ready to give up, but God's not ready to give up. He told Ezekiel, prophesy to some dead, dry, disconnected bones. Probably bleached by the sun. And God got the nerve to look down in that valley and all that dryness and see some life. He said, "Ezekiel, that situation and my power are a perfect match." I believe God goes looking around for stuff that's messed up. So he can just show himself how great he is. Look, if you got stuff messed up, give it to God. If your children running you crazy, give them to God. If your marriage crazy, give it to God. Look at this one. If your bank book is crazy, give it to God. Hey, glory. I think I was telling my wife the other day, somebody said that money was funny. It ain't funny. When your money funny, that ain't funny. Thank you. Ray agrees. Thank you. He said, dry bones hear the word of the Lord. That's why I said your situation must hear God. Because if the dry bones say, I want to stay dry. I want to stay like I am. I want to stay disconnected. I want to stay disjointed. I want to stay dry. I've been here so long. Ain't nothing left for me. I just want to stay like this. But look here, they begin to hear. Look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. I like what Ezekiel said. Ezekiel said, I ain't saying this. God is. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. That's good news. Nobody else walked by and said that to you. Everybody else walked by, looked down and said, ain't that a mess? Look at Israel. Look at that. I wonder what happened to them. Oh, my God. I went to school with one of them. Which bone do you think it is? He had a big head. That big head, that skull. Because the rest of the stuff ain't there yet. Oh, we're good at shaking our head. What's that? Tech, shaking my head. That's the nature. We're good at shaking our head about stuff. But he says to these bones, I will cause, God said he will cause his breath. The breath of God, the precious breath of God is saying to somebody today, I'm ready to enter into you and give you life. You've been dry. You've been messed up long enough, but there's good news. I see your situation and I want to bring your life back together again. I know what your family said. I know what your friends said. You never be nothing. You never amount to anything. And those words keep on messing you up, but I'm here to let you know. They didn't make you. They don't own you. They don't know what I put in you. They are seeing the external surface material. They are making judgment on a part of a situation. Oh, my God. Situation must hear God. And he's telling, he said, God said, I'm going to put my breath in you. Then he said, thus saith the Lord God, I'll cause my breath to enter in you and ye shall live. That's like, and ye shall live. When my breath gets in you, you shall live. It's not saying you might live. It's not saying if he blows into you long enough that you shall live. It's like, no. Look at verse 6. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and ye shall live and ye shall know that I am the Lord. God said, I'm here, I'm at your life, and I'm getting ready to do something with your life. I know you're scattered right now. I know you're disconnected right now. I know you're confused right now. I know your first marriage didn't work. I know you lost your job. I know you really want to do better. I know you're about to lose your mind. You're about to lose your house. You're about to lose everything. But I am God and I am here. If you can hear my word, if you can dry bones, dry bones. If you can hear my word, if you can let me breathe into your life, I'm about to put this whole thing back together again. Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put old Humpty back together again. Why? Because it's God's job. I come to let you know, I don't care where you've been or where you are today, God can put you back together. I know you fell off the wall. God saw you when you fell off the wall. But super glue won't do it. God said, I'm going to put you back because I know the plans that I have for you. And I needed you to go through that because you got so dependent upon you, your knowledge, your connections, your ability, your strength, your family, your finances, that you forgot all about the great I am God that started you on this journey. That's why I let you fall off the wall. And when you fell, everything you had accumulated fell into pieces because it was made up and strengthened by the wrong stuff. So all the king's horses, all your relatives, and all the king's men, all your friends, couldn't put you back together again. So your situation must hear God. Then the situation must believe in God's power. Look at what happened. Verse 7. First of all, he told them everything he's going to do. I'm going to blow into you. You're going to live. I'm going to put some flesh on you. And I'm going to cover you with some skin. I'm going to put my breath in you. And then you're going to know who I am. God is simply saying, when I step in your situation, don't deny me no more. When I step in your situation, you go tell folks who put you back together. You go tell folks, I, the Lord God, put you back together. They saw you all messed up. Why are you going to walk around lying? I'm back. Like you did it all by yourself. And God said, no, I need to get some glory. Look at verse 7. So Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And look what he said. As I prophesied. That's important because there was a noise, which means that the situation, the dry bones, heard the word and received the word of the Lord. I come to let you know today that you can be dry over here and dry over there and dry back there. But when you hear the word of the Lord, there was a noise and behold, a shaking. There was a shaking going on. What was the shaking? Because when the breath began to enter into them, the bones no longer look sunburnt. Oh, you ever see somebody that has fainted and the color came out of them, but soon as they start breathing and the blood starts flowing again, that's all God is saying. When I breathe in you,
you shall come back to life. Your situation shall not be like it was. It shall be like I want it to be. So I prophesied his command. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together. Bone to his bone. That's an intelligent prophetic word. Bone to his bone. Don't tell me what God's word can't do. First, they scattered all over the place. Her head was over there. Her leg was yonder way. Why not connect? But as soon as they heard the word, there was a shaking. You know what that shaking was? Them bones getting up. I'm feeling good. Oh my God, I ain't felt a breath like this. I felt the wind, but it wasn't God's wind. I felt the rain, but it wasn't God's water. But now I feel the breath of God. Get one of those hot days and get a nice cool breeze at night. You be like, whoo, refreshing. I was like, whoo. We out in the park yesterday. Lord have mercy. Thank God for a big tree. Look at verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Wow. They came together, but there was no breath in them. I see dead men walking. Some of us in the body of Christ. God put us together, but we didn't stay long enough to get the breath of God in us. We were so impressed with what we got back together. I do look good. I'm doing this on my own. My second chance. No, don't walk away from the breath of God. God's not finished yet. And God continually breathes on and in us. So it's important that we stay there. He said, there was no breath in them. Look at verse 9, because your situation must believe in God's power. Verse 9, then said he unto me, God said unto Ezekiel, prophesy unto the wind. I said, wow. Because something told me that the wind was blowing while they were dry. But when God redirects the wind to blow in your life, that's something totally different. He said, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. The ruah breath, the life-giving breath. Breathe upon these slain that they may live. I said, wait a minute. The bones had come together. Flesh came upon them, but there was no breath in them. I said, God, you mean until I get your breath in me, I'm still like slain? Wow. The breath of God. Look at verse 10. So I prophesied, he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You notice that God never tell you really in chapter 37 how they really got here. You can find out from reading Ezekiel in the Old Testament. But God said, my concern is not how you got here. I'm just glad you're here. Sometimes God will find you where you last were. Find you where you died to your dreams and your destiny. Find you where you got all dried up. Find you where that divorce messed you up. Find you where that marriage messed you up. Find you where that man left you, where that woman left you, where that job left you. Or where you left yourself, thought you was all that, and then you fell off your high horse. God will find you. He'll find us in our dryness. Not to laugh at us like our friends and our enemies, our haters will. He finds us to bless us. He finds us to breathe on us. He finds us to put some new skin on us. He finds us to put some sinews in us. He finds us to put our lives back together again. Our situation, God's power, what a perfect match. Look at verse 11. He said unto me, son of man, these bones of the whole house of Israel, behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. Lost, we are cut off for our part. See, sometimes God, as he put us together, we still don't believe it. Here they have stood up. An exceeding great army. These bones represent the whole house of Israel. And they're speaking to us today. It also speaks about the resurrection of Christ. And behold, they say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost. God wanted me to let somebody know that you came here today And don't you leave here talking about your hope is lost. Don't leave here rejecting the word. See the enemy will have you sit here and look at your watch and leave here dry. And it's not my fault. Because all the stuff you've been getting before ain't doing you no good. That's why you're still dry. But God said you got to be careful, because if I was in a dry situation, and if I begin to look at myself, I got some skin, and I'm standing up. And just a few verses ago, I was scattered and all dried out. How am I going to say all my hope is lost? Because sometimes life can deal you such a terrible blow that you don't think you deserve nothing good. Anybody have been, you've been messed up all your life. People have messed you all your life. You don't believe that you deserve anything good. Get up out of that nonsense. Renew your mind. Get your mind renewed. You are a child of the King, and God wants to bless you with the best that he has for you. Stop letting folk beat you down. Or stop beating yourself down for the mistakes you made. We all make mistakes. Some show more than others. Some show. Oh, my God. Glory be to God. Anybody want to talk about the one with the baby? Where the boy at? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you don't see my liquor bottles. So pass is fine. He's fine. Somebody looking at him now and say, what that boy eat for breakfast? See, there's some stuff that God sees it all. Some stuff we can't see. So don't keep on judging books by the cover. Look at everybody through the blood of Jesus. When you go out witnessing, you go out evangelizing and everything, don't just pick the clean folk. We did that when we was in Bible Institute. We used to go to Center City. The Center City said, during your lunch hour, you got to witness to some people. We used to go get the people that look clean, the suits and ties on. They were the ones that cussed us out the first. If you don't get the blank out of my face, is that... I'll tell you about the one that messaged you up in City Hall Courtyard. He walked up and said, young man, if he's that great, give me 12 of them. Talking about Jesus. Give me 12, Jesus. He that good. But the man on the grate that needed a sandwich and a word of encouragement, you got to be careful how you look at judging. Like, in the church, don't be looking at people like they ain't nothing. Don't look at the way I dress and figure I ain't nothing. I might not have what you think I should have on. And if you're a real Christian, won't you put your credit cards after the benediction? We go to the mall and have a ball. You can't want me to dress a certain way so bad that you ain't gonna buy me nothing now, are you? I'm hurting. I'm dry. He said, prophesy. They talking about their hope is lost. They dried up. There's some people that don't want to be blessed. They act like they don't want to be blessed. That's why God is saying for this message, don't just come get what you need for today. Come get what you need for a lifetime. Stop playing church. Some people get what they need for that moment, like God will bless them and heal them from something. You ain't going to see them no more until they come back. Because, see, when the cancer come out of remission, then they want a readmission to the church. Remission calls a readmission. And it's good you can come back. But God said, don't play that game. Don't play close to the edge like that. Don't play me like that. Because you forgot when you were all messed up and everything and nobody else could do, they came to see you and they brought you soup and they brought you food and everything and they cared and they prayed for you, but couldn't nobody touch you like I touched you? I'm the one that put my hand inside your body and told that cancer to behave. Oh my God, you don't understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the great I am God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Look at verse 13, and we're going to close this thing out. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, and when I have opened your graves, that graves of captivity, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit. Wait a minute. He already put his breath in them. Oh, my God. Wait a minute, Chad. You don't need the breath of God. We need the spirit of God. And it might be the same word in the translation, but the breath of God is the spirit. He said, I'll put my spirit in you and ye shall live. And I shall place you, destiny, in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Your situation, my situation, God's power. What a perfect match. Don't leave here dry today. Don't leave here disconnected and disassociated. Don't do that. Don't walk around the church talking about, I don't have nothing to do with nobody. I don't need nobody. I was saved by myself, but not for yourself. You know when folks talk like that? It's not that they don't want to be bothered. They're just nasty individuals. That's all. God's still working. Let's pray for them. They just, I don't have nothing. I have to come in and give it. I want to leave. Where's your gift? What's up? You just going to use us up and leave? You ain't going to give nobody no encouragement. You ain't going to hug nobody. You ain't going to speak to nobody. Dude, you still dry. You just don't know. You dry with skin on. You ain't got time to encourage nobody? You can't help nobody? You forgot from which God took you from? Oh, you've been perfect all along? You've been like this? Let something come upon them. Here they come. And you Christian, you got to be what's right. But in your flesh, in the right side of my spirit, you be saying like, oh, okay, all right. You don't care about nobody else. I mean, but the Spirit of God says you got to do the right thing. But when you need something right now, huh? Okay. See, y'all don't want to talk like that. Y'all say, oh, no. But no matter what's happened in your life, God is willing and God is able to help you. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we need to make a decision today. Is our life going to be a valley of death or a valley of destiny? A valley of dry or a valley of the Spirit of God? He is the I Am God. Your situation and God's power, a perfect match. Close with me with Philippians chapter 2, beginning at the 5th verse. I just want to remind somebody how great and how powerful he really is. Philippians 2, beginning at the 5th verse. I don't care what your situation is, it better get ready to bow. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of men. I'm just talking about my Savior, Jesus Christ. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm just talking about my Savior. And it said, whatever he died for and whatever he got up for, it belongs to me because I belong to him. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Gave him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, somebody needs to call the name of Jesus over their situation. Somebody needs to call the name of Jesus over their dryness. Somebody needs to call the name of Jesus in the valley that they find themselves in. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm mighty glad that God came by my valley one day. I thought I had it going on, but he said, lo, very dry. He said to the prophet, can this young man lives. And God is saying today, I'm looking at your life. I like the way you dress, but that's not it. I like your perfume, but that's not it. I like your cologne, but that's not it. But can you live? God wants to breathe on you and put his spirit in you. And before we stand to open the doors of God's house, let me explain it to you very clear. You do not have to become a member of this church, but you need to be a church member. But I would impress upon your heart, do not leave here lost. Do not leave here disconnected from Christ. Do not leave here without your covering of the blood of Jesus over your life. It's just that important. And if you're here today and you're not a member, and you just thought you just happened to come in, you ain't just happened. God just woke you up and sent you here for a specific reason and for a specific purpose. And that was to hear the word of the Lord, to enjoy the service of the Lord, to let me know and to let you know he's still breathing and he's still speaking. And he's still putting his spirit in dry folk. Let us all stand. If you're here today, and Jesus Christ, listen, is not your Lord and Savior.